Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebre, and Marielle Smith. Join us as we dive beyond the surface of our writing practice. Hi, Marielle.
Hey, Lou.
So we're doing something a little different today.
Yes.
And we'll have to see how it goes. So I want...
Sorry, I was going to say it was your idea.
It was, because I wanted to know about your Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
So I thought other people might also want to know. Other people who aren't in the know about Kickstarters or who are interested in your project in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'd heard of Kickstarter and I've got a vague idea of what it is. Not necessarily in relation to books, but it can be in relation to anything, can't it? Like a new invention or what yeah. have you. That's where I first came across it anyway.
Yeah, I over the years, I have backed a new yoga platform, so an online yoga platform. I have bagged a specific planner, the Passion Planner.
Oh, yes. Planners. I can see the attraction in that straight away.
Right. And I have bagged since, because doing books and Kickstarter, that's very a thing that's in, like now it's happening. I'm sure people have done it in the past, but now it's like this big thing and a lot of people are talking about it. So over the past year, I have backed three other campaigns, two specifically about, one campaign was actually about how to publish your book on Kickstarter. So by backing the campaign, you got a book on how to do your book on Kickstarter. And another campaign was one of my favorite authors doing a special edition and a rewritten version of one of her books. So I got the paper. Oh, I'm still waiting for it. It's not ready yet, but I pledged to get the paperback.
So when you say you backed projects, is that like Dragon's Den, where they invest money into something in the hope of a return, or do you get goods as a return?
You get goods or services as a return. Like I said, like my first ever Kickstarter was backing a yoga platform. And that meant that I got access to the platform for a discounted price.
Ah, I see.
But the good thing about Kickstarter is that if it doesn't get funded, you're not losing your money.
Okay.
So that's a good thing, right?
I see. So...
Yeah.
So if someone put up a project and then they didn't, do you have like a target amount then that you have to achieve?
Well, you can set that for yourself, and it depends very much, of course, on what kind of thing. Like if you're really going to invent something, so that means you have to have a prototype made, stuff like that. Like there are Kickstarters out there who have as a goal like 100,000 or even more. I remember there was one. I never backed that campaign because it's not in my line of interest. But there was a huge campaign in the Netherlands years ago. There were two people who wanted to open a classical music cafe.
Ah.
Where they just play classical music and like a coffee place, and. So they did that through Kickstarter, and their goal was 100,000.
So would people get discounted coffees then, or what?
You can. That's the thing. You can decide. There has been another Kickstarter in another city, also in the Netherlands, for a cafe, and I think that one had stuff like if you pay this amount. Which is like the same amount as 9 coffees, you get 11, stuff like that. So you get like little stamp cards, something like that.
Okay. So you gain something more than you would if you just purchased goods.
You can. Like, this is the thing. There's, when you do a Kickstarter, you have reward tiers and then there are bonus perks. So the idea is often that you have very attractive bonus perks. You can sell the product that you're selling in the specific tiers. So for example, and if it's exclusive, that can work even better. Like, for example, the novel that I backed, that is, the author is doing a hardback only on Kickstarter. And there were also, she had, like, I think she sold three, and they were going to be, how do you call that, when the sides of the paper are like gold?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right, so that's very specific, very expensive to make, right? So those tiers were very expensive, but there are only three of them. Right, and she was only going to do it during the Kickstarter. So if you wanted it, you had to get it during the campaign or you would never, ever get your hands on it.
Yeah, and I suppose that also makes it potentially valuable in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and she has a huge following already, right? So that, and she had a really great campaign. We're talking, I think, £8,000.
Mm.
That's what she... and that was not like her goal was much lower. So she did really well on her campaign.
So what makes a successful Kickstarter?
I don't know yet because I still have to do mine.
Okay.
But I do, I have a friend of mine who just had a successful, I mean, successful for me would mean you set your goal and you surpass it. Right. I think the idea is, depending on how you do your books, like for me, most of the time creating the products that I make is time. There aren't a lot of other costs involved.
Yeah.
Right? So my goal for this Kickstarter is very low. And I literally just picked, okay, so I had some mock-ups made because good images are really key to Kickstarter campaign. I had some mock-up images made. I have to pay a designer for that. So that's what I included in the budget.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, right? So all the things that I needed to get some help from other people that I had to pay for, that's how I made up my budget. But the rest is just time.
Yeah.
There are people who don't do that. But for me, it was very much, I'm really just trying to see if I can find another audience for my work because I'm going to publish these books. And if so, I'm going to do what I told you, I think we talked about this last time, a book with a companion card deck. I was going to produce that anyway. So nothing is stopping me because for me, it's not a huge investment upfront.
Yeah, not financially anyway.
Yeah, because like I will, like I, like the book needs editing and stuff like that, but it's not a 100,000 word novel. If you do a 100,000 word novel and you also have an expensive cover designer and stuff like that, that's what you need to keep in mind because that's the things that you need funded before you can actually create the book.
Okay. So that's where potentially people invest money and then what... Would they just get it back if the person didn't reach the goal?
No, you don't get it back. It's not deducted from your credit card until the campaign finishes.
Ah, okay.
So it's even if you see something you really like, but you can't pay for it right now, but you know that, oh, in 2 weeks I get this amount of money, right?
Yeah.
Or my salary comes or whatever. There is, every campaign has an end date. And if it's successful, it's on the end date that it will be deducted from whatever you chose as your payment option.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like you pay and then you get it back. Now, the creator is not getting any money. Even if it's super successful, they don't get the money until after the campaign ends.
It's clever, isn't it?
I like that, yeah, because like some people have used like places like GoFundMe for books and stuff, but GoFundMe is if you've paid, you've paid.
So you could potentially not get anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my campaign is very low risk because I'm going to do it anyway. Like, I'm going to publish these things anyway. But let's say you are coming up with a new design barbecue, for example, or right, because I think there have been some really successful barbecue campaigns in the past. That takes a lot more money, of course, to create the product, to like have prototypes, test them. Oh no, something needs to be changed. That whole process costs so much more money than a book.
I see. So it works as well for fiction as non-fiction.
Yeah, I would say so, yes. Because one of the, it kind of blew up, I think, when Brandon Sanderson got like over $1 million during one of his campaigns. So I think that was when a lot of people like, sort of like, yeah, I'm going to try that too. The thing is, of course, and I think this is something that people really need to keep in mind, is that Brandon Sanderson already had a following.
I know. Well, I follow Brandon Sanderson, so I can appreciate that you would want something exclusive from Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I had no idea who that was until this news about the Kickstarter
came out. Oh, you really should read his books.
Okay. So I had no idea, right? So for me, it's like, okay. But my, like I said, my friend, who is like one of my favorite authors at the moment, who's a hardback I backed during the campaign. She has quite a following already, right? She's not unsuccessful as an author already.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't have a huge newsletter. I don't have, for example, the following that she has on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this campaign is going to bring me. But for her, I've never asked, but so I, of course, hope to get some new, I know some people are going to get some of the things that I'm offering. I'm, of course, hoping to get a new audience as well. And I have no idea because her project was very specific. And also the bonus perks were very specific to her world. So I don't know if she got any new audience, like any new readers, or whether it's just that the people who are already huge fans of her work just went a little crazy over all the cute things they could get during the campaign and just spent a lot of money on her. Yeah. So I never asked, but I know one of my friends who actually looked through my campaign and like proofread the campaign as it is, they also had quite a successful campaign. It was a very, they just tried something really simple. And I think they reached $2,000. And that was not like, I think their goal was like 300 or something like mine. And for them, like half the people were strangers who backed.
Okay. So where are you promoting the Kickstarter?
That is like people say you have to promote it. I'm not great at promoting generally. So I mostly promote it during like in my own newsletter, Instagram, Facebook.
Mm.
That's where I'm promoting it right now. I do have I'm really glad that I actually did it. There is Kickstarter is doing something for the first time. They call it Witch Starter. And that means that you can, if you launch a project that has anything to do with divination, witchery, whatever, and it's going to run in October somewhere, you can get that label and then they're going to help you promote.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I, of course, have a card deck. I wasn't going to do it because I was like, yeah, but it's all about writing and writing struggles. So I know it's a card deck, but I didn't. It's not like a tarot deck or something. So I was like, yeah. But then that friend with the $2,000 campaign, she's the one who said, you're doing this within the Witch Starter thing, right? And I was like, no, because I read it. I was like, yeah. And she's like, and she co-writes with her husband. So she's like, we both think you should do it. Like, we both look at your campaign and we think you should apply. So then I realized that if you click on the Witch Starter thing on Kickstarter, like on their homepage, you start making a new campaign. And my campaign was already ready, and it has cost me hours and hours to create.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to let it go, because I'm not going to recreate my campaign, because I mean, I just don't have the energy for that. And then she's like, oh, that's such a shame. So what I did, I emailed the people at Kickstarter saying, hey, I would love to be part of this thing, but I've already created my campaign. And then within like 12 hours, I got an email back from Gary. And Gary was like, oh, that's all right. I just put the label on it. It's fine. So that is like, for me, that's the only promo I'm doing outside of my own network, is that I got Gary from Kickstarter to include my already finished campaign, my already set up campaign, into their October Witch Starter big project.
I suppose that's where you will potentially get new people, though.
Yes. Yes, but also for card decks. Oh, I've also once backed a card deck on Kickstarter. It's very popular for card decks.
Yeah, because like you're potentially getting something exclusive, aren't you? And that is appealing.
And for indie card makers, it's the way to get things funded. Like I was when I logged in the last time, there was a tarot campaign. It's ongoing, and it's already made over $100,000.
Wow.
But that was, I think it said 3,300% of the goal was already met, and it's still running.
Have you thought about branching out?
I'm not going to do a tarot deck right now. No, absolutely not. No. Also, I can't, that would mean a collaboration with an illustrator.
Yeah.
Because I can't do that myself. Yeah. No, but it's something people will look for.
Money, though. That's big money.
That is really big money, yes. Yeah. And of course, like, card decks are not inexpensive to make. And this one, I looked at it. This one, they had like tons of stretch goals. That's another thing you can do in your Kickstarter. I have some in mind as well. Like, if I make, or if this amount of money gets pledged, I am gonna do this, right? Because, for example, one of the things I have in mind for the card deck is that when you print, like, I'm going to drop ship all the books. So that means I'm going to get them printed through Amazon and send directly to the people who bought them. But with Amazon, it doesn't matter if I buy one or 100, the print price is the same.
Yeah.
But with the card deck, it's a radical difference whether I buy 5 or whether I get 100.
I see. Yeah.
So one of my stretch goals, I still need to crank some numbers, but one of the stretch goals is going to be, if I sell X amount of card decks, that means that the production cost is lowering, so I can add like a tuck box.
Yeah.
Which is quite expensive. It was also like, I've had a designer made it, and I'm still figuring out whether he got the design right for the printer. So we're trying to communicate about that right now.
Yeah.
But that means like, I can't offer that when I don't know how many decks I'm going to sell.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. So that's, and so this tarot one had like, one of the stretch goals was like, I think silver etched cards. And then they got a really fancy box with like a magnet. And then they got, so it's like, and this, and this, and this. So it just, yeah, the package just becomes fancier and fancier and fancier. Yeah. I've had that with the card deck I backed all those years ago. The original was like shrink wrap. That's how I'm going to do my deck. But then at one point she hit a specific number. I think her stretch goal was like, if I hit 5,000, I'm going to get the box ordered. So I got mine with a little cute box.
So do you tell everyone what your stretch goal is, or is that something you keep to yourself?
No, once I'm reaching that number, if I do reach that number, I am going to tell people, because it also, it invites people, because when you've pledged, And because you can, while you're doing the campaign, you can add tiers. You can add reward tiers. So for example, if somebody says, oh, you offered all this, I would love this. And you're like, yeah, I can offer that. You can create a special tier for that. So what happens is that, what you see happening is that once you make your stretch goals known and people are like, oh, I really want that, they're just going to upgrade their rewards.
Mm.
So for example, I just backed a campaign. It's finished now, but they started having this thing, like all the stretch goals, everyone who had pledged over $10 got that stretch goal. So if you pledge something lower than that, let's say you've just pledged the ebook of the thing they were creating, but if you're like, oh God, I really want that stretch goal, you're sort of like, you know, it's like, oh God, so maybe I'll find another tier and I'm gonna increase my pledge so I get access to all these stretch goals.
Oh. So that sounds it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. I think my next one will be more fun because I'll have a better sense of what to offer and not.
Yeah.
Like I see a lot of people that I know also offer like coaching and stuff, and I see nobody actually backing that. So I do a little bit of coaching, but not huge packages.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, there's no point for me to think up of programs that I could devise if people spend this much money, because I don't see that happening yet.
Yeah.
So I kept that really small and I didn't waste plenty of, like lots of hours thinking, how would I go about that? But for all I know, I am going to have plenty of people backing my coaching tier. And that would mean that for the next campaign, I'm going to focus more on that.
I see.
So it's very depends on what kind of audience you're going to attract in line with your product, of course.
Yeah. What I like about it is coming up with ideas for stretch goals and doing stuff with your product that you probably, it wouldn't pay you to do in any other way.
Yes, exactly. It has been a lot of fun, and it was very difficult for me to think of the bonus perks, and those actually came about in a conversation with another author, because she was like, "But you have all these things, so can you not create something that's very specific, like something like it that doesn't take you like weeks to create, but it sounds really cool for people who want it?" So I have like, I once did a webinar on tarot and the author mindset. Mm. And it was kind of an introduction, like, okay, so you've never worked with a card deck before. How can you start doing that? And how can you specifically use it to tackle like author mindset struggles? So I'm going to take that webinar and I'm going to turn it into a beginner's guide to card slinging. That's like one of my bonus perks now. I'm only going to make that for the Kickstarter. So if you want that, it's kind of a double thing for me. It means if people want a beginner's guide to card slinging, which I'm sure you can get anywhere online, but if they want it from me,
yeah,
they'll have to back those specific tiers. But also, since my main product is the book and the companion thing is the card deck, I'm also sort of selling it in a, I have this card deck, I have this book, I have this card deck. If you've never owned a card deck before and you don't know what to do with it, don't worry, because any tier that includes the card deck will come with the bonus perk of my beginner's guide.
So it's like a complete package.
Yes, and I think that is why Kickstarter sells well, because the thing is, and initially I discounted all my stuff. And then a friend of mine said, that's not the idea behind Kickstarter, because people actually enjoy being part of something new.
Yeah.
They enjoy being part of something exclusive, are willing to pay a little bit more for that. Like she said, her ebook package was like £5, which of course her ebook is not £5 online. It's like £2.99. But there were extras, like there is a wallpaper that you can download with characters from the novel, stuff like that, which is all exclusive to Kickstarter. Yeah. So people were very happy to pay £5. Most of them probably already had the ebook just to get the extras.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what to do with the extras, but she walked me through it and we came up with a bunch of stuff. And I do have some in the back of my head, depending on how well the campaign goes, that I'm like, oh, I could do this as well. If I like make this amount of money, I could actually add this and give it to everyone who's backed over, let's say, €15 or something.
It makes me want to go on Kickstarter and just check out what is possible out there.
Yeah, and I think this is the, like, I didn't do this because I didn't go on Kickstarter because Brandon Sanderson, who apparently I need to read, made that much money, right? Like, that's not why I did it, because I tend to, if everybody's like, you need to try this, I'm usually, yeah, no, I'm cool. But because it really resonates with me and because I was already familiar with the, platform, but also I understand this feeling of I'm part of a movement. Like the yoga platform, for example, that was something entirely new and you were part of the movement. Like you were addressed as an ambassador, stuff like that, right? So it becomes very inclusive. You become part of something. So that's what I like. That's why I was like, I'm going to try this. And what I'm doing as well, and this is something that, like, for example, some my friend who did the hardback, she focused the entire campaign on that particular novel, right? But in my campaign, because I have such a backlist, I've created raw tiers that have nothing to do with the product I'm trying to fund, but you can still buy my other books. So if you don't care about my card deck or my new book, but you want all my tarot books, you can now get them in print or digitally with a set of bonus books.
Ah.
But that is a decision I made. Not everybody does that, but I was like, I have such a huge backlist. If I'm going to try to find a new audience, why not see if I can, like, so I created like a tarot book bundle and a writing journal bundle and a big book bundle where you get all of my books with like tons of bonus perks. And like, I have no idea if it's going to work.
It could potentially be really worth it, though, if you introduce new people to your backlist and they, you know, choose to purchase more.
Yeah. Well, that's of course what I'm going for. And like, you can also create add-ons. So all my digital books, it's really hard to create physical add-ons because of shipping, because you have to calculate shipping for every country. But that took me ages to figure that one out.
Okay.
But of course, if people add two books and I've given them like the shipping price for one book, it's going to add up. And I'm like, no, if you order two books, the shipping price is not going to be twice the amount.
Hmm.
So it's all my digital books are, you can add on. So even if you do, If you're like, I want the card deck, but I want these two tarot books, you can create that package for yourself. But I say it everywhere. If you want a couple of print books instead of like buying a bundle, like it's everywhere that people can just email me and then I can see how much that would cost in terms of shipping. And then I create, this is the great thing about Kickstarter. I can create a separate tier for them. I can say this tier can only be backed once. So let's say you want a very particular package. I can call it Lucinda. And then I can say only one person can back this. And then I can email you, say, Lucinda, your tier is now live. And then you can claim it. So you can, even though like I've set it up quite broadly, you can do it custom. You can create custom packages with the people who are interested in getting your product.
Do people know that then?
I have written it down in some tiers. I've written it in my story, like consistently, like if you want to create something else, just contact me and I'll see what I can do for you. Yeah.
So it's got an awful lot of flexibility. It's low risk.
For me, it's low risk. For other people, it might be different, but for me, it's very low risk.
It's low risk for people backing you as well, isn't it? Because they potentially, if they don't meet the target, then they don't get the product, but it doesn't cost them anything.
No, and there is something you really have to think about. There is a risk section that you have to fill in, because, of course, depending on what you create, there might be the risk that even if you hit the target, you're still not going to finish the product, right? So you have to fill out, what are the risks when I back this? So for me, it's simple. The book is already ready. The only thing I need to do, like my all my tiers from the €1 tier to the end, if you back any of my tiers, you're going to be included in the acknowledgements of the book. So I basically wrote down in my risks analysis, like, the book is ready. I just need to have all your names. So that means at the end of a campaign, everybody gets a survey, and that's where they fill out like address, if they get physical products, the right email address, if they get digital products, stuff like that, right? So I basically say, I need all the backer surveys back before I can finish the book, but the book itself is ready.
Yeah.
And then the card deck is also ready. Like, I've shown it in my video, like, it is ready. I just need to order it. So that makes it a very low risk campaign as well for those who back me, even if I hit the funding goal. And I'm very clear that some of the bonus perks, like one of the bonus perks for the higher tiers is a guided meditation. That's going to take me longer to create because I need to record it, need to find the right music, if I'm doing one with music, stuff like that. So I'm very honest saying, I'm hoping to get this done by then, but it might be March. So you have to be very clear. You have to be very honest about your estimates, because if people back something and you tell them you're going to get this by December 2022, and then they don't get it until April 2023, they're not going to trust you anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a whole list of things saying, this is my ideal, but just stay safe. I'm saying it might be 2 months extra. And of course, for me, like, I know people who do Kickstarters before they've written a book. I couldn't do that because that's too much.
I couldn't do that.
So I didn't set up the Kickstarter until the book was ready and until the card deck was ready.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm already stressing out a little bit because I have all these bonus perks to make. And while they're not going to be as time consuming as my fear thinks they are going to be, it's still something I need to set time up. I need to make time to do it.
Yeah.
But that's already, because I don't have it at the ready, it's something I do need to create as the campaign is running. That already stresses me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But so that's the highest risk, that my bonus perks might not be ready when I think they're ready.
God, if you've never written a book,
don't do this.
Oh no, that sounds so risky.
Yeah, don't do this. No, I mean, it's, and especially because it's great if you have, like, so I understand on Kickstarter, I don't have an audience. So I don't expect this campaign to go. I don't expect to earn thousands and thousands. It would be great. It would be awesome. But I don't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
But of course, when you've backed a campaign, you get notification when they do something new.
Yeah.
So especially if you're like a new author, the same with my friend who earned the £8,000, she has a really big fan following, right? Like, she has super fans. I'm one of her super fans, right? So she was promoting this on Facebook, and that made me go to Kickstarter. But I don't have, for my work, I don't have her amount of following yet.
Yeah.
I have a couple of super fans, and I know that they're going to back, but we're not talking about hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So if you are nobody, if you're just starting to do your first book, this is not your way. But if you are already writing, I also know some authors who've used this to sort of revamp a book that's not selling well.
Yeah.
Like, they do the campaign to get new covers, for example, right? And then find a new audience for it, sell the whole series for a ridiculous amount. So it's also something that if something is like, okay, this book isn't really working, can I somehow turn it into a special edition and see if I can give it like a boost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's better to build your audience. Well, like with everything, it's better to build your audience first.
Yeah. So I'm doing this right now because I do have, like, if you buy, like, I have more books. How many? Oh, I have 20 books out, 17 nonfiction books, and the one I'm working on. So that's going to be 18. So I do have some audience. Otherwise, I wouldn't have tried it. But I do know there are people who've told me, I'm going to get your cards, I'm going to get your book. So that's why I felt secure to try it. Also because it's very low risk. But if I was a nobody who had no books under my belt, I would not have done this at all. It is, I'm trying this because I have something to sell already. So I have something to show. That's why I thought it was worth the risk. But let's see, the campaign is going live on the 10th of October. It's going to be live for a month. So let's see where we end up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's something that I want to do at the moment because I don't think I've got enough products out there in order to do it. But it is something that I'm interested in looking at. Just to see what's available, to see what campaigns I can back.
Yes, that. But also, it's really, I think the fun thing is that you can be really creative as well. Like friends of mine who co-write, they write novels that are located or set in New Orleans. So in their campaign was about an audio tour, like a scary audio tour in New Orleans. So they've used their passion to create something new. Because they love New Orleans, they love writing those books, but they created something new, and then they also tried to sell some of their books along with it. So I think it's also broadening your horizon to what you can create. Like me in the card deck, it's my first card deck, but it fits Kickstarter so beautifully that it was like, once I decided to do the Kickstarter for the book, I was like, okay, I'm finally going to publish that card deck that I've been working on for 3 years. So I think that it's sort of like, yeah, I think it makes you really more, I know, it does something to your creativity. I think it opens it wide up.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Definitely, Lou, also for yourself, just to keep in mind.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to have a look at it for dog products.
Oh, yeah, there will be. Yeah.
For new sure. Inventions and.
Yeah, there will be. Yeah. So be careful, though, because it can be quite addictive.
Yeah.
I think both backing and creating campaigns can be quite addictive.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, it sounds fun. And I'm definitely going to have a look.
Do that. And next time we talk, I'll let you know how it's doing.
Yes, good luck.
Thank you.
When does yours launch?
10th of October.
Okay, so people know where to look, where to go.
Yes, I'll add the link to the show notes.
Okay. All right then. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.